Fuzzy TV.
Don't look now, but there's a new category. Yeah, I know, I had 19 categories. But I really can't say this is a 20th category because this does not concern Israelites. Now, this is a category that's really off the map. These are not your obvious Israelites. Neither are they your secret Israelites. Then what are they? Let's see if I can think of a street name for them. I would call them kind of Israelites. KOIs, kind of Israelites. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about nothing less than proselytes, toward comers. That's what the word proselyte means. It's a Greek word. Pros is toward, and lights apparently is comers, toward comers. These are people who like Israel. They love Israel. They want to be with them. They like how they are when they're with them. So if after everything I'm telling you about your friends and your family who love all the Israelite things, you might say, okay, Martin, well, look, we had their DNA tested. We had their blood analyzed. And Martin, even though they love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they have James Gasms all day, they're still not Israelites. We had their blood checked. Not a drop of Jacob blood in their veins. At which time I would say, not a problem. They're kind of Israelites. Kind of Israelites? Yes, well, you may know them as proselytes. This is Martin Zender. You're at MZTV. I think this is the last video on this topic I'm going to do before launching into the second death. I thought that 3 or 4 videos ago, but this is MZTV. You never know what's going to happen. But I've been promising you Matthew chapter 8, and that's what this is about. So let's jump right into it, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about proselytes. This verse does a lot. It confirms the true replacement theology, that the obvious Israelites will be replaced by secret Israelites, but not only secret Israelites. And this is really will be an insult to the obvious Israelites, but they will be replaced by even people who aren't secret Israelites. They will be replaced by people who aren't Israelites at all. That's going to be really embarrassing for the people. But nevertheless, I'll let Jesus tell you about it. Now I'm in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Now at his entering into Capernaum, a centurion came to him, entreating him and saying, Lord, my boy is prostrate in the house, a paralytic, dreadfully tormented. This centurion, this guy was part of the Roman army, the occupying force. And yet he recognized in Jesus a force to be reckoned with. Listen to this. And he is saying to him, that is, Jesus is saying to him, I coming will cure him. Just like that. I will cure him. Listen to what the centurion said. I love this guy. Answering, the centurion averred, that is to aver, is to say strongly, Lord, I am not competent that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my boy will be healed. Look at this. Many times in Scripture, most of the time with Jesus and the miracles, Jesus puts hands on someone, or that woman with the hemorrhage touched the hem of his garment and was healed. Jesus put mud on that man's eyes. So a lot of it has to do with physical contact. Even Paul, they took handkerchiefs and personal items from his attire and passed it on to people, and people were cured from diseases because of the contact with Paul. Peter's shadow fell on a lame guy in the book of Acts, and he was cured just because of Peter's shadow. But this all still, it is physical closeness. And that woman who with a hemorrhage who touched the hem of his garment, that was really remarkable, because Jesus said, I felt power come out of me. Wow. Oh, that reminds me of another scene from The Chosen, the woman with the hemorrhage. It's really awesome. I'm going to link you to it. So look down here. There's a link, YouTube link, to a scene from The Chosen, which is a pretty good series about the life of Christ. This is the woman with the hemorrhage. But this man of the nations is so childlike in his faith, and he probably doesn't even know that you don't do this. He probably doesn't even know that this is not done. So he's so simple, and he has such faith in Christ. Let me repeat his words again. Lord, I'm not competent that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my boy will be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having soldiers under me. And I'm saying to this one, go, and he is going. And to another, come, and he is coming. And to my slave, do this, and he is doing it. In other words, this guy's saying, I just have to say something, and my people follow me. I don't have to go to them and, like, you know, put my hands on their shoulders and push them to the work. I just say it, and they do it. The inference is, surely, Lord, you are greater than I am, and so really all you have to do is speak the word, and my son will be healed. Now, hearing it, Jesus marvels, verse 10, and he said to those following, listen to this, verily I am saying to you, with no one in Israel so much faith did I find. This is a guy of the nations. This is a Roman. He's an unwashed Gentile, pig, a dog, whatever the Jews thought of Gentiles, which wasn't much. Jesus, according to the law, was probably not even allowed to talk to this man. Well, maybe he was allowed to talk to him, but certainly not go into his house. But that wouldn't have stopped Jesus anyway. He loved doing stuff like this. Hearing it, Jesus marvels, and he said to those following, verily I'm saying to you, with no one in Israel, so much faith did I find. Now I am saying to you, and Jesus is still speaking to those hanging around watching this exchange, I'm saying to you that many from the east and the west shall be arriving and reclining with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of the heavens, which is on earth. Verse 12, yet the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be lamentation and gnashing of teeth. I got a lot to comment on that. Verse 13, and Jesus said to the centurion, go, as you believe, let it come to be with you. And healed was the boy in that hour. And the centurion, returning into his house in the same hour, found the boy sound. Woo! I love this. This is fantastic. And you know where I'm going. You can see it right here. We've been talking about the house of Israel being scattered and coming, being regathered into the land from the north, south, east, west, four winds blowing from the four corners of the earth. And here we go. Many from the east and the west. Now, granted, Jesus is not saying that all those coming from the east and west will be non-Israelites, because this guy is not even becoming a proselyte. This guy just wants his son healed. Jesus knows that. He's not trying to apply to be a proselyte, to be a toward comer. He doesn't want to be attached to Israel. I'm going to explain to you what a proselyte is here in a second. He just wants his son healed. So when Jesus says, many from the east and the west shall be arriving and reclining with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he may be talking about the lost 10 tribes. But he's using this centurion who has faith, asking him for a miracle as an occasion to teach the truth that the sons of the kingdom, with whom he didn't find faith anywhere close to this, the sons of the kingdom, those who were invited to the wedding feast, will be cast out into the outer darkness. This will happen at the beginning of the 1,000 years, when those who are going to strut in thinking they're in the first place, they're going to find out they're in the last place, and they're going to be ushered to the back of the room, i.e. the outer darkness. It just means they're going to be set far away from the capital city of Jerusalem. And then, insult of insult, people are going to come from afar who didn't ever seem to be associated with Israel. These will be, those are the lost 10 tribes, the secret Israelites. They're going to come from afar, and everybody's going to go, what? Where did they come from? We've been all through that. But also, I believe that this centurion is a type of the proselytes. There also will be members of the nations who are attached to Israel in some way, they also will be usurping the place of the, quote, legitimate, unquote, sons of the kingdom. And this goes right along with what Jesus told the Pharisees, that the prostitutes and the tax collectors will get into the kingdom before you people. Love that. Because there you go, the sons of the kingdom, they don't have faith, they're stubborn, they're stiff-necked, and the prostitutes and the tax collectors, which Jesus befriended because they befriended him because they knew who they were of those who pounded their breasts and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. They weren't like the Pharisees. Oh, thank you, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like these stupid sinners, these stupid prostitutes and these tax collectors. They weren't like that, so they befriended Christ, and he loved that kind of spirit. He loved the simple person who knew that they lacked, knew that they couldn't do anything to get anywhere with God, and so they threw their entire trust and expectation in Christ, and he rewarded it, you see. And so in the kingdom, the kingdom is going to be made up of such people, and I have no doubt in my mind that some of them will be freaking non-Israelites. So you don't have to be a literal Israelite to be part of this gathering, this coming from the north, south, east, and west to the Holy Land. You can be a proselyte. You can be a non-Israelite who is inclined to Israelite things. And the lesson here is great. The lesson here is great. With no one in Israel, so much faith did I find. And many will be coming from the east and west, shall be arriving and reclining with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The big boys, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're going to be the superstars of the thousand years. And some loser from Ames, Iowa is going to wander in, hey, how's it going? And he's going to be invited in to recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because he's a simple person who has faith, who just loves Israel, wants to be in on the promise, wants to be in on the magic. I want to be in on this. This is great. I love it. That's basically what that centurion said. I want in on the magic, in a sense, right? I want to be part of this. And my son is, really has a problem, and I know you can do this. It's just like, hey, let me join the party here. And so, oh, the sons of the kingdom are going to be so, shall we say, upset when they are usurped, when they are set aside, they are cast into the outer darkness. Oh boy, there's going to be a switch of fortunes there. And that's the big switcheroo. That's the big replacement I'm interested in seeing. Those who are in the land now, the obvious Israelites being thrust aside. And then the real Israelites coming in from all the strange cities I mentioned yesterday, coming in from all over the world. Like, who are these people? And not only that, but people who aren't even Israelites, but they love Israelite things and they associate themselves with the covenant nation, and God accepts them. So they even have a place in the kingdom. They even have a place in the kingdom. So don't worry if you have your friend's blood tested. And Martin, sorry, there's just not one drop of Israelite blood, so you're all wrong. No, not. They're proselytes. They can be of the same category as this centurion, or they can be like two proselytes I'm going to tell you about now. This is also from my ZWTF newsletter, Volume 5, Issue 36. This is from 2016. A person does not have to be an obvious Israelite or even a non-obvious Israelite to partake of the kingdom that is coming to earth. One can also be a proselyte of Israel. A proselyte, I'm reading my article here, is anyone not from the holy nation who attaches him or herself to that nation via the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now we find out they're going to be reclining with them, having a meal with them, having lunch. Let's do lunch. Who are you having lunch with today? Abraham. What? Yeah. Me and Abraham, we're like this. Wow. Such individuals love the religion of the Jews. So if they take this love of the nation Israel, and then they hold to it, they take it seriously, and they bear fruit. We're talking about people who are bearing fruit worthy of repentance. In a way, this centurion bore fruit. It was that faith and trust in Christ. Now, the thing with the proselytes is They can only be second-class citizens in the kingdom. Apparently, they're still going to be lounging with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if indeed proselytes are included. They can still lounge with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They can still hobnob with the chosen people. Back in the day, like in the 60s, you were super cool if you hung out with the Beatles. The Monkees hung out with the Beatles. So you didn't have to be a Beatle to hang out with the Beatles. Just to say that, yeah, I had lunch with Paul McCartney, or, you know, John Lennon came over to my house. Lounging with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So you don't have to be a part of the nation to do that. But still, proselytes don't have the full privileges of one who is of the literal lineage. So they're second-class citizens. But they will still reap many kingdom benefits. Oh, yes, they will. Christ will raise them from the dead, along with David, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 disciples. Why not? Here's the two I was talking about. Two of the most notable proselytes in Israel in the scripture are the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 and Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. Both men of the nations, but serious as all get out. Just lovers of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they were attested to by the Israelites. And the Israelites themselves said, yeah, these people are good. Boy, I tell you what, if they could be Israelites, they would be, but they can't be. But they're pretty dang close. And so, yeah, we got to give them credit. That was especially the case with Cornelius. But the Ethiopian eunuch was sitting there, as we know in the book of Acts, scouring over the scriptures, the passage of Isaiah, trying to figure out if that man who had just been crucified and raised from the dead was actually the Messiah, and who happens by but Philip, one of the 12 disciples, and explains to him the scriptures. And the man rejoiced. This guy was serious, this Ethiopian eunuch, probably a black dude. Black dude is not an Israelite. Israelites were not of the black race. They're not red. They're not yellow. They're not. They're white people. I'm sorry. It's just how it is. You might say, well, Martin, a lot of the Middle Eastern people are swarthy. They're dark skinned. Yes, but a lot of them have intermarried and they're not pure-blooded Israelites. This is why Paul's gospel is so great, because in Paul's gospel, it doesn't matter. But in the kingdom, it does matter. It does matter in the Israelite kingdom. You have to be of those 12 tribes. Your genealogy counts. This sounds racist, and it is. It is really racist. But it doesn't exclude people. You can see that here with the proselytes. You can see that. These men, Cornelius and the Ethiopian eunuch, will share rewards with Israel in the kingdom. Now, if Paul had been there, and Philip was talking to this Ethiopian eunuch, Paul would have said, listen, kid, I got a better message for you. Philip's a good guy and everything, but if you join up with Israel, great, good, well and good, but you're going to be a second-class citizen. You're not going to get the full privileges of an Israelite. How would you like to hop, skip, and jump over Israel and have a celestial destiny that depends simply on you being unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid? I got a message for you. Doesn't matter what nationality you are. Doesn't matter what color you are. Are you in? Boy, I would love to have been there. I would have jumped right in front of Philip. Philip, stand aside. Sir, I have a message for this guy. And he's going to love it even more than yours. Sorry, yours is great, but this one's better. These men will share rewards with Israel in the kingdom, even if they don't rule and reign there. They're not going to rule and reign. Having lunch with Abraham is not the same as reigning with Abraham. Right? Doing the brunch thing with David is not the same as reigning with David. These people, they might be carrying cups or sweeping out the sanctuary, but no matter. They will be completely satisfied, these proselytes in the kingdom. They'll be hobnobbing with the Beatles. Yeah, they won't complain about being made immortal, and they will be made immortal when they're raised from the dead. 75 days after the coming of Christ to the Mount of Olives, 75 days, the former resurrection. Who's going to be there? Yeah, David. Yeah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That's going to be great. The 12 apostles. Yep. You know who else is going to be there? Cornelius and the Ethiopian eunuch. And anybody else who is serious about attaching themselves to Israel, though not of Israel stock, though not of Israel blood, they still dug in Israelite things. They dug it. and God's going to dig them and give them a place in the millennial kingdom.